Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
Get your Bibles out because this is actually a start. It's weird to be here in the evening. And for those of you who are watching online this evening, it is really brilliant to have you with us. And I hope that you are having a good Sunday as well. But it's good to be in the house of God, isn't it, church? Amen. Because the house of God is a place of protection. It's a place of safety. It's a place where you can experience grace upon grace upon grace. And so I'm delighted that if you are here tonight and if you're watching, but particularly when you're here, when you're in the presence of Jesus, there's nothing like it. And what I want to do tonight, I want to talk about something over these next few weeks using a book of the Bible that you're going to find really interesting, hopefully. A book of the Bible that a lot of you will know, because if you've been around for more than 5 minutes, sometimes when we get to the word, we kind of go, oh yeah, I know that. Isn't that right? We kind of go, yeah, I know all about that. It's like, give me the really cool stuff. And it's not about that this evening. It's about you going, actually, Lord, speak to me about where I am at in my life and where you want to take me to. All right? Because the Lord will take the word of God, the written word of God, and he will make it the living, breathing word of his word to you. And so we're going to start a few weeks looking at this character called Ruth. And what I want to talk about is how you find security in times of trouble. So what's that called? A title? That's right. Our title, if you like, is how do we find security or live securely in times of trouble? And what does the word, particularly the gospel of grace, have to say to us tonight about where we're at, the times that we're living in, and what the Lord can do for us? Does that sound okay? And so you might want to take some notes in this because you're going to learn stuff. All right, you get a money back guarantee. So whatever you paid to be here tonight, whatever the ticket price was, I can absolutely assure you'll get a full refund on the way out. I just asked Gillian Jordan, if you do not learn something about yourself, about Jesus, and you don't walk away feeling more encouraged. Can't say fair in that, can I? That sound all right? Brilliant. And we're going to be quick because I'm getting back to watch Downton. And all right. And I'm not missing that for anything. So what we're going to do is we're going to reveal Jesus. What does grace do? Grace reveals Jesus. And we say many times, like my favorite verses are found in the book of John, the whole gospel of John, actually. And it says that the law was given, but grace came. The law was given, but grace came. You see, grace does not demand of you tonight. Grace supplies for you. So wherever you are feeling lack or wherever you're feeling inadequacy or wherever you're feeling fear or you're feeling anxiety, let me encourage you tonight that grace supplies whatever you are lacking. Grace does not come along. Jesus does not come along and put more demand on you and say, well, you know, I'm going to extract something from you. That's what the law did. The law would demand from us what we could never do and what we could never provide. But grace instead comes along and says, let me, where you are weak, let me be your strength. And what we're going to find in this book is that, you know, what I love about it, it speaks right to the times that we're in. It speaks right to the world. And this is what I love about the Word of God. It's timeless. It has this unbelievable ability to speak right into where we're at and for it never to grow old. And so we're going to look at that. So we're going to look at Ruth chapter 1. You'll find it somewhere in the Old Testament, all right, sort of between Kings and Four Kings, Judges, all around at the end of Judges, right? So, and what we're going to see is that even way back there, the whole of the word talks about Jesus. This is a picture of Jesus and his grace. It foreshadows what the Lord was going to come to do. So when you read this with me and we look at these things tonight, what you're going to see is that this is a picture of what the Lord is saying to you in these days, 2021. Our context is Belfast, all right? Or wherever you're from. But, you know, in 2021, living in this part of the world. And what I want to encourage you to do is Colossians 3 says, is set your mind on things above. The word actually tells us, you know, set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And so where you set your minds, even tonight, and where you set your minds tomorrow morning on a Monday going through the week, the Lord encourages you, whatever you're setting your mind to, make sure it's set on Jesus first. Because when your mind is set on Jesus and his work of grace in your life, the result is peace and prosperity and fullness flowing from the inside out, all right? So I know we've all got lots of stuff, but this is why we need to get right into the word tonight. Does that sound about right? Does that sound good? You ready to learn something? Ready to receive grace upon grace? Yes, give us a little wave if you're online tonight. Just give us a little whatever in the chat and say, yes, we are also here in out there in the interweb land, ready to receive. So let's get stuck in. If you turn to Ruth chapter 1, we're going to read through it in 1 minute, but it's a beautiful picture of Jesus. What I love about this is, let me just explain some of the big themes so that I'll be able to go through it in the weeks to come. So it's a beautiful, beautiful picture of Jesus, and there are grace gems the whole way through it, and they're all there for your benefit. What are some of the big themes that we're going to discover? Well, the first one is going to be rest. You know, when your life looks dark, when your life looks like there are things pressing in, when we are surrounded by fear and anxiety, how can we learn to rest in the presence and in the grace of Jesus? You know, it's a mega theme. Are you prepared tonight to rest in the grace of God and to allow him to work in your life? Or will you get up tomorrow morning and go, yes, Jesus, but I need to help you out here? Which one is it? Because we're going to see actually in this story, when we fully throw ourselves onto the person of Jesus, then that rest is, despite all sorts of crazy stuff, rest is the result. We're going to see unconditional love and unconditional grace for the outsider. And the outsiders are not just people who are not saved today, although that is part of it. But actually, we're going to see, you know, the picture of Boaz here, right, who we're going to meet. Obviously, he's a type and a shadow of Jesus himself. He's called a kinsman redeemer, and we're going to see what he does for people who feel like they're on the outside and people who feel like they don't belong, the people who feel like they don't have it all together, and the people who, when they look at their lives, go, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. So we're going to look at that. We're going to look at hope. My goodness, in these days, don't we need some hope? Anybody? I know that I do. I go whenever I think about my future, I go, outside of Jesus and outside of being planted in his church, I don't know what. Genuinely. I don't think these are days that you want to be found outside the presence of God. I mean, because it's not a scary, the world's getting darker, brother, and all that. No, but when the world gets darker, the light shines brighter. I understand that. But see, for me and my kids, I want them found in a place where Jesus is the center, where grace, his unconditional love and grace, is the center in everything. I don't want anything else for them. And so what we're going to find, because the world is half mad, to be honest, and getting madder. And so, you know, it's not just about that, but it's about how, in the middle of it all, grace will redeem you and your situation. So there's your three big themes: rest, unconditional love and grace, and hope for your future. And actually, they all tie in together. So let me give you some background. So this book of Ruth, Ruth's going to be the main character. It's the names are really, really key in this. Now, Ruth is a Hebrew name, and some of you may or may know, but it means friend or it means beauty. And when it's put together, it means beautiful friend. And these names are going to be very, very significant. Now, in this book of Ruth, it takes place in the 400 years that pass between Joshua entering the land and the time of the kings. It's called the period of the judges. And the judges were raised up in that time to deliver the people of Israel from their enemies, even though the people of Israel were up and down like fiddler's elbows and they kept rebelling. But what happens is God appoints judges to judge and to rule over them. Now, the baddies, in this story are the Moabites. So remember in when it was about Samson, it was about the Philistines, boo. Well, it's the Moabites in the story of Ruth. The Moabites, because Ruth was one, they worshipped pagan gods and they were an enemy of the people of God. They were Gentiles and they were not in covenant with God. Now, Ruth is one of these people. Ruth is an outsider. She's a Gentile like you and us, all right? She is not one of the people of the day who had a covenant. She was not even in the line of Israel. And this is what's going to make this story of grace so much more remarkable for you and I as we go through it over these next few weeks. Because I don't know if you feel like an outsider at times. I don't know if you feel like it's good for everybody else, but really, when I look at my own life, seriously, you know, I'm not on the inside track of God's grace. I don't have as much as everybody else. Lord, if I'm really honest at times, I kind of think you bless them more than I see the blessing. I kind of feel like they have it more than what I get it. Anybody? I might feel like at times, even when I'm around a crowd of people, that I don't really belong, because if they really knew what I was like, then seriously, I would be rejected and cast to the outside. If you ever feel like that, this story of Ruth is a beautiful story of redemptive grace. It's a wonderful story. The Moabites, you see, right, where did they come from? They were the result, if you know your Bible, the Moabites were the result of an incestuous relationship between Lot and his daughter. I don't know if you go all the way back there to Genesis. So the result of that incestuous relationship were Ammon and Moab. And so the Moabites were in the line of that. So from their very beginning, these Moabite people, they were born out of incest. They were born out of this complete dysfunction. And Ruth has been born into that line. Now, what's really interesting is, like, I want to cut, you know, if those of you are going, this is all kind of vaguely familiar. Right, if we cut to the end of the story, Ruth will actually become the great-grandmother of King David, and Jesus will come through that line. Let me tell you something. I don't care where you're from. I don't care who your family is. I don't care how many times you've been round the block. I don't care, honestly, because the Lord really doesn't care that much either. He doesn't care what your background is. He doesn't care what the mistakes have been. He doesn't care whether it was your fault or somebody else's. He doesn't care whether you chose it deliberately or willfully. His grace is bigger than it all. He redeems every family. He redeems every person. He redeems every history. He redeems every line. He redeems every failure. He redeems every mess up. And he says, my grace in a moment working in your life will set you and yours to come on a path of blessing and favor and grace, that when my hand opens and my hand is at work, nobody and nothing will ever stop that work of grace in your life. There's the Lord fullness. Hello, Lord. All right. That's good, isn't it? Isn't that good? Don't let anyone ever tell you that because of where you've come from or because of what you did, that your future and your best days, we've been saying it every day since we've got back into church, that your best days are not in front of you. They are. There is not one sin of yours or somebody else's that will ever stop the goodness of God in your life. Do you understand me? He will not take you off the track of God's purpose for your life. If your heart is open and you receive grace every day, it's impossible. Why? Because he is stronger. His grace is stronger than anything, anyone that comes against you to derail your future in God. Do you get that? And at the very beginning, and it's not just for you. That's why we keep saying this is grace for all. Invite, let people know, let them and their families come into a place where the cycles of the past are done, where the sin and the sickness and the dysfunction, all of that stuff will only be completely renewed and restored and set on a right path when they encounter the God of grace. Because the world can't do it. The politicians can't do it. Your good words can't do it. All the self-help books in the world can't do it. All the getting up early, eating vegan food, whatever that, you know, and I don't know, all that weird stuff that people, all the running the marathons in the world won't do it, right? But grace will. I nearly said a bad word in the middle of all that. When I get there, I get really annoyed about vegan food, you see. Have any of you vegans in there? Just want to go, wise up. Any vegans watching online? Wise up. And, right? I just need to say that tonight. I need to minister into that tonight and go, your past will not disqualify you from God's future. Ever. Because I'm kind of going Ruth as a Moabitess. Was I? Well, she was a Moabite. You want to read what these people got up to. It would make, you know, we think we're pretty crazy today in the world. But the word actually tells us there's nothing new under the sun. I actually think there was less restraint in some of those days. But I did a wee bit of reading about Moabites and pagan gods and sacrifices and all sorts of weird stuff. I mean, these people are pure evil. And you know what the Lord does? He just looks in and goes, I'm choosing you. It's not unbelievable grace. I'm just choosing you. And you know what? The world will go, hold on. The religious people will say, oh, no, that's not the way this works. And God says, I'm choosing you. And watch what my grace will do in your life. Not just for you, but for the generations to come. The great-grandmother of King David. Anyway, I haven't even got started. I just want to give you the background. And that's good. So You know, if you're thinking tonight, I just think, you know, that even the word that will land in your heart tonight is that the Lord can and will change your destiny and your future tonight. And he'll change the course of it because he can and he will. So God says, despite the fact that you're an outsider, despite the fact that you're not in covenant, despite the fact that your people are completely mental, God says, I choose you. The one that's overlooked and the one that's on the outside, God chooses every time to do a work of grace in them. That's good news for everyone in here tonight and everyone who's watching. Now, there's this unfolding picture of grace as we go through each of these characters as I set them up. Naomi is the mother-in-law, right? And you know, most of you will know what happens with Naomi, but what does Naomi represent? What's the imagery? Naomi actually represents the nation of Israel, and I'll explain that more as we go in. And Boaz is a type or a shadow of Jesus himself. He's a man of great wealth, and he will marry, obviously, Ruth, because you know the story. Knowing the story is not the point. It's what's the Lord speaking into you through the story. So shall we read? Let's get to we'll go to chapter 1. That'd be a good place to start in the beginning. All right, so, and the whole point of this is, the point that I want you to pull up is, the point that I wrote in my notes is, even in your darkest days, God is at work. Do you hear me? Even when it doesn't look like it, God never rests. He is always at work in your life. So in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn, that means to stay, in the country of Moab. He and his wife had two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of one was Orpah, which means back of the neck, and the other was Ruth, beautiful friend. They lived there about 10 years. Both Mahlon and Chilion, the husbands, died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Now, let me set the context. This is towards the end of the period of the judges. And we're actually here in Judges 21:25. It says, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. So basically what was going on, it was a bit of a free-for-all in these days. When I think today about some of the issues that are going on in the world today, it is a bit of a free-for-all, isn't it? I mean, we have turned some things just on their heads completely. And now, do you know what the most unbelievably radical thing you can do is actually to tell the truth, right? I mean, who would have thunk it? All, you know, that we would get to the stage where simply by saying what is true would make you the outsider. Isn't it amazing? How did we get here? Who knows, right? But the point is, we are here, and it was exactly what was going on here. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. You see, today we live in a world where there is no objective truth, and anyone who claims that there is objective truth will be castigated and set aside to go, who are you? You'll be called a bigot, narrow-minded, and not inclusive, all of this kind of stuff. But the truth is, Jesus in John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He then says in John 8:32, if you know me, okay, that if you experience me, okay, you experience truth. So there is such a thing as objective truth. It's Jesus and who he is. It's his work, all right? But in the context of these days, that everyone was kind of like, whatever goes, and it doesn't really matter. And so what happens here is that the result of living like that is a cycle of defeat. It's a cycle of going round and round in circles. And so they never break through into the promise that God has and the covenant that he's spoken over them. And because they just have abandoned what God said, they are subjected to these cycles of defeat. And you see it all the way through the Old Testament. Now, what happens here is there's a famine in the land. Verse 1, this is really interesting because where are they from? The details are important. They're from Bethlehem. Bethlehem, it means the house of bread. And so you have these people from the house of bread, but there is none. There's literally a famine. So there's no fruit. And what happens is, because they, now listen, they're from a place called the House of Bread. That's the promise that God speaks over that place. It would be a place that would be a blessing to everyone else, but they're not seeing it because there's famine. So what do? They up sticks and they go. Now we get a clue as to what, because essentially we do it. What happens is we have the promise of God over our lives in grace. But oftentimes what we do is when we don't see it around us, we are tempted to take things into our own hands and do it ourselves. And that's what Elimelech does. Elimelech, the da here. Elimelech means this, my God is king. So he's, remember, names are really important. And Naomi actually means pleasant, right? Now, what I love here is the two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. Do you want to know what their names mean? It's flipping brilliant. Sickly and dying or pining. Like, they sound like a bit of crack, don't they? Like, do you know what I used to laugh? Because when we lived in Bangor, often of an evening, my mother would stand at the back door in Gulder, okay, and say, it's time for your tea. Andrew, Peter, come in for your dinner. All that stuff up the street so that we would know. Can you imagine that? Sickly! you'd be cut the piece of it. Sickly, dying, or pining, or whatever he's called. Imagine, come on, sickly, your dinner's on the table. Like these kids had it bad. They had it really bad. But what's really interesting is their names mean something. So you have Elimelech, my God is the king. This declaration of who God is, but when the rubber hits the road, he scarpers. That's what goes on. He's afraid, even though he is called something else. Under grace, you're called holy. You're called forgiven. Under grace, you're called prosperous. Under grace, you're called healthy. But just like Elimelech, my God is king, but as soon as my circumstances don't align, poof, I'm out of there. Right? And so, but watch how the Lord will move. Right? He's afraid. So there's this thing of he's not grounded in what he was called, but I'll come to that in, I think, it's week three. He doesn't think that God can be trusted. That's the point. So he runs. He looks after himself, he thinks, and his family. And do you know what's really interesting? Where does he run to? He runs to the very place where the enemies of God are. What's the point? People, when we're under pressure, and at times, the pressure might not be external. It might be an internal pressure, where we might not be seeing what we believe God has spoken over our lives, or we might be fearful. Be very careful, because in the running, what he did was he ran away from a place of safety and protection and into the arms of the enemy. And he didn't even see it. He looked at what the Moabites had in their land and thought, that'll do me, because at least it's better than this. But if he had have waited and trusted, I believe that God was working in his life, he would have had probably a different outcome. Do you get that? Just be careful. Check in on yourself and go, where do I go whenever things around me are not playing out the way that I think they should be? Where's your go-to? What do you do to meet the need? What is it? It's different for everyone. You see, that's the point. But just be careful, because my God is king, and sickly and pining. They go off to Moab and they end up dying. His issue, right, is, you know, when things don't happen the way that we expect it, what you generally see in people is a flight out of faith and into fear and self-reliance. That's the point. But we're going to see the God of grace working through even that, in the middle of that, to redeem everything for his glory and for your good. Amen? But recognize it, because in it, I think these things are written so that we can see these things and bring them to the Lord under grace and go, that might be my go-to. But actually, under grace tonight, I can receive exactly what I need to break the cycle of defeat. Amen? Is this okay so far? Are we enjoying this? What about online? I'm only getting warmed up. I see these introductions to new Colin, I'm telling you, you're gonna love it. I'm just finding myself getting wound up. And so what happens is he doesn't think God can be trusted, old Elimelech. But do you know what the thing is? What you'll see is that famine is never, the issue's never an issue for the Lord. Do you get that? Do you think famine in the land was a real issue to the Lord? It wasn't, was it? It was never. There is nothing in your life tonight that you're going through, facing in you or in yours, absolutely nothing that's going on there that is an issue to God, because he's bigger than it all. The problem is we don't stay in a place of rest and trust. We hit whatever our internal button is and we scarper normally into the hands of something that will do us no good at all. But we buy that short-term release instead of resting and trusting that grace is at work. That's the point with Elimelech. You know, I was reading this week in Psalm 27. It's a song that we sing here. It's a word for somebody tonight. And it's, I would have despaired had I not believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That might be for you tonight. I would have despaired. You see, Elimelech despairs because he didn't believe that he would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. So he takes it into his own hands. And the implications for him and his family were severe because they end up dying. You see, when you give yourself to something which is not the word of grace and Jesus in your life, the only result is death. That's what we see in the word. That's why, you know, tonight as we sit in church and we put this out over the airwaves and the interweb and all the rest of it, it's because it's life and death. Do you get that? People are giving themselves to things today in the hope of meeting that deep need within them. In Elimelech and his family, you see, it was a physical need of bread. They needed to eat. But for all of us today, we're not probably in that situation, although some people are. But for most of us, the deep needs that need to be met, all right? People are giving themselves to everything. But the truth of it is, outside of Jesus, it just results in death. That's why I love the word, because you can go to the word and go, that really helps me. To go, don't buy into the lie, because read the times, Judges 21, people were just giving themselves to everything and anything, right? Everything and anything. With no restraint, no anything. Do you get me? And so I think it's really important that if I put that verse up again, I would have despaired had I not believed that I'd see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for and confidently expect the Lord. Be strong and let your courage, your heart take courage. Wait for and confidently expect the Lord. That's the word over you tonight, okay? Let me tell you something. The word of grace says to you tonight, you will see his goodness in the land of the living. Amen? That's why we've got to receive it and go, yes. And Lord, and when I'm tempted to get into the cycle that I've been in before of taking things into my own hands, putting things, you know, together the way I think, I'm going to say no. I'm going to wait for you. I'm going to confidently expect to see you work in my life and bring it apart. That's the pattern of grace. And you know, I'm going to speak into that in the next couple of weeks, but I think, you know, the truth of it is there's something at times that I think the world's not very good at. And actually, but can I just say this? I don't think believers are very good at it either at times. I think what we do is we are so restless. You know, the times we live in are restless times, aren't they? It's just quick, quick, quick. This isn't working. Go here. This is go. You know, we flip and we... You know, but this thing of remaining strong and confident and consistent and trusting, like almost like my eyes are fixed up here. When I look at you, for me, whenever I think about my life, I go, but, you know, the great stopgap, the great external point of reference for me is Jesus and his work, all right? Instead of making short-term decisions, can I be quite honest? That's why I'm here tonight. If I didn't have something in my life that I would say, I'm going to wait and see the goodness of God, I'm telling you, there's not a pastor in the world today who would ever make it through more than 2 years of ministry. That's the truth. And don't think it's any different. And if there are any pastors listening tonight, you know, you'll be giving me an amen. It's too flipping hard. And you kind of go, it's not the physical work. The physical work's easy, right? The spiritual battle, totally different. But you have to wait, you see. Even when you've got things in your heart that you want to see, you've got to wait and go, but I will see the goodness of God. And outside of seeing the goodness of God, I would probably do an Elimelech and do a boulder, as we do a boulder. How Belfast is that? For the French ladies here, that means to run away very fast. If in doubt, speak French in an English accent. They're bound to understand me, all right? All right, ladies. Just joking. He did a boulder. What is that? All right. But in your life, do you know what you can say tonight? And it's not, I'm not gritting your teeth and holding. But because remember, that's just legalism and law. Not your effort, but his supply. And you go, I'm going to see your goodness. Like Penny prayed tonight, I don't know how. I might not be able to work out how it's going to flow or what it's going to look like. But I will wait and be strong in that truth. And some of us need to get a longer-term view of where we're at today. because the world wants it all in 5 minutes. And actually, the world will tell you if you don't get it in 5 minutes, then you're doing something wrong. The Lord doesn't work to the pattern of the world. Do you get that? He's on a totally different grid. So don't buy into that, because the Lord says, tonight under grace, if you are in relationship with Jesus, you've given your life to him, then you will see his goodness. And there ain't nothing's going to stop that. But don't short circuit and actually keep yourself in a cycle of defeat by raising your hands like Elimelech and saying, my God is king, his name, my God is king. But as soon as it presses in, I'm going to do it myself. Because you rob yourself of grace. Because legalism and self-reliance, that fight from faith and grace to legalism, will always nullify the grace of God in your life, always. That's what the word says. And so what we do is we rest in his grace. Is this okay? Anyone feeling encouraged? Yeah. All right. Okay, some of you are anyway. And I need to go quick, don't I? So what I'm going to say is there's something brilliant about God's grace. Here, let's read in chapter 6. She arose with her daughters. Now, this is Naomi. Because what happens is Elimelech and sickly and dying, they actually die, right? Sickly and dying. I mean, sorry about that. And out. Jesus. So they actually die. They cark it. So they're left. Is my zip down or something? If you're watching online, there's people in the church and they're laughing really hard. So let me just check myself. All right. So then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return to the country of Moab. For she had heard in the fields of Moab, listen, that the Lord had visited the people and had given them food. Isn't it interesting? The Lord visits the people and gives them exactly what was lacking before they moved on. Remember, there's a famine in the land, Bethlehem, but there's no bread. But the Lord visits them and gives them exactly what they need. And so what happens is she sets out, verse 7, from the place where she was to go with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go return each of you to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with me. I love this. Like, this little line, he gave them food, is unbelievable, right? What does it tell you about your father today? What does it tell you about Jesus himself? It says, if you can't see it, let me explain it for you. It means, despite our rebellion, despite constantly turning and leaving, despite the fact of, you know, flying into the hands of our enemies, those things which will never deliver what they promise, you know how the Lord deals with us every time? He's only ever good, gracious, and kind and loving. That's what this tells us. Despite all of their sin, how does he turn? He blesses them. And what was the reason? What was the reason why Naomi decided to go out of the hands of the enemy and back into the arms of God? It was because he was good. It was because he was gracious. It wasn't anger or judgment. He didn't threaten them. She hears about the goodness of God and how he is blessing the people with what she needed herself. And it does something in her heart. Oh, how do I make it clearer for you? When people hear about what God is doing in you, make no bones about it, what the word tells us tonight, it resonates in them and they'll want more. That's why we speak grace. That's why we share. Because when people seem like they're far away, giving themselves to things that are a million miles away from God and his covenant, the only thing that will turn them, the only thing that will light them up is his grace. The only thing that will change their hearts. And that's, Naomi comes back because she hears about his goodness. Isn't that amazing? The rebellious people, the distant people, the sinners, all that. Despite that, God's blessing them and God's pouring out onto them. And, you know, I want to say to you, if you ever feel like walking away into that place of self, remember that it's only the love of God that will make you or somebody else's turn. You know, I think about that for the people in your life that you know. There's something I believe supernatural happens whenever we share the love of God. I believe it touches and resonates into a place in people's hearts that nothing else will. I believe it will touch you in a way that nothing else will. And it will cause you to come to a place of reliance and rest again. And that's why we preach grace. That's why this church is here. That's what Romans 2:4 says, isn't it? Do you have no regard for the wealth of his kindness or tolerance and patience? Are you unaware or ignorant of the fact that it's God's kindness that leads you to change? All right? Change in your inner self, your old way of thinking. It's God's kindness that leads to that. And so I want to encourage you this week, right? For yourself, what this tells me tonight as I'm reading this is the best thing you can do tomorrow morning for yourself is to let yourself bathe in the love and the acceptance of Jesus for you. Make it a priority before you get to going anywhere else, whether it's in your thinking or in your action. Make time to bathe in the presence of Jesus and his grace for you. Think about it. Pray in the Spirit. Let the Lord do it. Right? Because that will protect your heart in troubled times. You'll find security in troubled times when you do that. And it will anchor you and give you strength to wait in faith that he is working behind the scenes so that you don't rush off being one of those Christians who goes, yes, my God is king, but at the first sign of pressure, I'm straight into the arms of something else. Because it's only his goodness. Isn't that why grace? Do you not feel so privileged to be in a church where we get to say that unashamedly, where we don't have to, I don't have to qualify that tonight. I can't outdo, I can't over-egg the goodness of God. It's impossible to do it. I can't out-grace. There's no such thing as hyper-grace, right? As some people accuse grace preachers, hyper-grace, like just grace, full stop. It's the most mind-blowing thing, heart-blowing, incredible message. And it doesn't get any better than just grace alone. That's Jesus in his fullness for you. Amen. But it changes you. And interestingly, when it's working in your life, don't think that the people who you view as far off, that it won't change. As soon as they hear, it's going to turn something in them. Might not do it overnight, but make no bones about it. As deep calls to deep in our lives, we are hardwired. Our very DNA cries out for Jesus and his grace, because we're made in his image. And as soon as we hear, then make no bones about it, it's going to change them. That's good, isn't it? Holy smokes, let me go real quick. Online, are you still enjoying it? I love teaching the Bible like this. I do. I hope you're enjoying it too. Are you feeling encouraged? Are you just thinking, hurry up, I want to get home for a cup of tea? Lock the doors at the back there and don't let anyone move. So what I'm going to say is this. Like I was saying, don't leave his presence. Let's just read through down to verse 20 and that'll set us up for next week. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place with her two daughters-in-law and they went on their way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, go, return each of you to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead me. Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, no, we will return with you to your people. But Naomi said, turn back, my daughters. Why would you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait until they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it's exceedingly bitter for me, okay, for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her, right? And she said, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people with her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth says, don't urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also if anything but death parts me from you. And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem, back to the house of bread. And they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, is this Naomi? She said to them, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. It's interesting here, you know, there's something, there's a point here where even though she, I want you to think about the people, think about yourself, think about the people in your life, and with this I'm going to finish, all right? The journey that God has them on, okay, doesn't happen like that. But God's grace is more than enough for every stage of them coming into their full purpose under grace. Does that make sense? Because like Naomi, she hears about the goodness of God and it does something in her heart. She goes, they've got bread. They've got what I was looking for. Do you get the point? What started me off in this journey, God has visited these people. He's visited my people, right? And he's blessing them. But when she gets back to Bethlehem, right, she's still pretty bent out of shape. Do you get that? She's bitter. I know loads of people who are bitter about the church. Without the grace of God, I would be one of them. Do you get that? But in no way does that change how God deals with us or with them. He doesn't go, flip me. You know, look, I've shown you my goodness. It's lit you up a wee bit, right? Like, you should be doing better than this, Naomi. She's still really angry. She's upset. She's disappointed. Mara, bitter. Bitter's a strong word, isn't it? Have you ever met somebody who's really bitter? Yeah? Like, really bitter? Like, yeah. Not just a kind of fleeting kind of wee bit annoyed, but like really bitter. Yeah, we know what it's like. But you know what's amazing? Like, I think the way the Lord deals with her here is, you know, he doesn't blame her for her trouble. He doesn't blame her for her bitterness. Even though she left with her husband and displayed the same lack of trust, even though she was under the headship of her husband at that point, and she left with him. What the Lord does there is he never blames. He doesn't cast it up to her again and go, hey, you were part of the problem here, et cetera, et cetera. Because I think the reason why the Lord does that and he's so patient with her like he is with you and me is because he understands that actually Naomi's problem was she never really knew the Lord and his goodness. Do you get that? And that's why the Lord is so patient and so kind and says, just wait and be confident, because what he's going to do is bit by bit in her life, he's just going to show her faithfulness and grace and restoration. He's going to show her love and provision. And bit by bit, the bitterness is going to disappear and she's going to have a heart which is fully switched on to the Lord, because she's going to see his goodness in the land of the living. I'm just saying that tonight for you and for the people that you love, for the people in your life that you're thinking about tonight. Despite their mistakes, despite their heart condition, whatever it means, their lack of trust, despite the fact that they may be far away or on their way, but whatever, all right? God is working something beautiful in them. He's working something beautiful in you tonight. His grace never fails, and his grace never stops. And tonight, as we start this journey over the next few weeks, I want you to understand that rest, in that sense, that first big theme that we have, that thing of rest and seeing the goodness of God, all right? You know, it's going to be something which I believe will fundamentally change every single one of you and your lives. I believe that. I believe it will change how you see not just yourself, but the people around you. Because I believe in these days, in times where people are just doing whatever they want, there is deep in them this call, which where they are looking for hope and restoration and security and provision in troubled times. And here we are, Exchange Church. Not, to some people insignificant, to some people, but actually in the eyes of God and in the eyes of Jesus, unbelievably called and powerful to be people who bring that life-changing message of his unearned, undeserved, unmerited favor and love. Amen? And it will change people. It'll change you. So why don't you close your eyes, bow your heads, and let me pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Lord, we thank you that tonight, Father, we receive your word in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that for people who are listening tonight, that there are encouragement, there are words of encouragement for people. There's life-changing truth in these words tonight. That no matter where we are, no matter how far we have been, Father, that your grace is calling deep to deep. And so, Father, I pray tonight in Jesus' name, Father, that you would show everyone in this place that their best days are still to come. Lord, that you are the Redeemer. You're the one who does not disqualify based on one jot of what has come before, whatever the decisions were and whatever part we played. And we thank you that tonight, right now, in this moment, in Jesus' name, that cycles are broken, patterns are broken, fears are broken, anxieties are broken. And Lord, tonight you're setting your people, Lord, on a path to purpose and fulfillment. You're setting them on a path to grace upon grace, not just for them, but for them and their children and their children's children, for their grandchildren, for their aunts, their uncles, for their whole line, Lord. Just in the way that you took this outsider, this person from the enemy, you know, Lord, and you put her into such a place of grace that your son yourself came through that line. That is how much grace will do. And so I pray over your families tonight, church. I pray over your households. And I pray in Jesus' name, grace upon grace. You know who they are. See the ones that are in your mind right now, your children, your grandchildren, as the Lord brings them to mind right now and you're thinking about them. Just rest tonight and know that God is working in them. God is working around them. God is bringing about his good purpose. And all he says for you to do tonight is not to worry about that, but just to rest and know that he works and to speak grace. Just talk about what he has done for you. And the power of that alone, with the Lord in it, is enough to change any heart, to remove the bitterness and to provide wholeness instead. So over your children tonight, whatever age they are, whatever country they are in, whatever situation they have found themselves in, I speak redemption, turnaround. I speak new faith and new hope over you tonight. I pray tonight that what the enemy has taken from them, Lord, that that would be paid back in quantity and quality, Lord, in Jesus' name, and that they would see the goodness of God in the land of the living.